We're going to play hard heavy metal today to keep Ed awake. It's not going to work, but I feel like it might be a step in the right direction.
End of the week. I got the fight tomorrow night, the NASCAR on Sunday. There's no sleep for me. You'll be sleeping all weekend.
You're talking about, I have an 8-year-old boy who wants to go and do things. I'm going to be up in Lee Canyon in the rain.
Keep him away from a pool.
You know, we'd love having Dr. Caleb Pinneger in here from Crivetti Orthopedics because he's Southern Nevada sports injury doctor and has made quite a name for himself already out here in Southern Nevada, and we welcome him in this morning. Good morning, sir.
Hey, Doc.
How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. Happy to be here.
How are you?
Doing real well.
Yeah, because
cool breeze this morning. I love it. Great weather. This is fantastic.
Have the injuries been piling up from the ski slopes and the snowboarding?
We were joking about that actually. Yeah, we had a rash of AC separations. It must have been slippery up there a couple of days because everybody was landing right on their shoulder.
Really?
Coming in to get a big, their collarbone was perched up, and they're trying to get it figured out how to put it back down. Yeah, it was an interesting week.
Do they all hang out in like the waiting room with like the lurch, like that the broken shoulder thing?
Yeah, it almost looks like, you know, sometimes you fear that people walking by are going to be like, what's happening in that waiting room? Everybody's got a wheelchair or a cast or a sling or a patch on their eye. You never know.
Yeah, they're walking around with lumps and stuff. Everyone just sitting there like ears of corn. But I think like that's a good thing. Like everyone that goes to Crivetti Orthopedics always has like great stories about not only how they were cared for, but the aftercare and all that comes around full circle, which is why we love having you in, because you've done a really good job on Twitter at Vegas Sports Doc just by going through just the popular stuff that's happened here in Las Vegas. Just like you're watching the same stuff that all the sports fans are watching, and you're able to comment on the injuries throughout football season and especially the hockey season, because when a Golden Knight gets hurt, there's so much mystery and question marks of like, what happened? When will he be back? We'll never know. But you always have a pretty good ability to observe and at least kind of like make an estimate that has a lot of, I don't know, frugal observation around it.
Yeah, I can take the experience I've had, you know, on the sidelines myself and in my office evaluating people that have had injuries. It's fun when people bring in a video of how they got hurt. And it's like, ooh, and then you check it out and you can really compare it side to side. But watching the games and watching these Golden Knights, first of all, fantastic series they've had here. But wow, when we're looking at a video, sometimes they look gruesome. And I'm just thinking, oh my gosh, that tore this and this and this. And then you hear the guys, you know, hey, nothing was broken. He had a little bit of a sprain. So it's amazing the torque that a joint can undergo and sometimes be fine and other times be just destroyed. Yep. Like it really is surprising. So I've been totally wrong a few times on these, which, you know, I get a lot of feedback on some of those social medias. People can be brutal, which is, to me, just fantastic. I love the banter back and forth. But the other times
we're
right
on. Golden Knights fans are lunatics.
I
am.
Borderline. It's not pathologic. No, we don't need to medicate them, but but they're getting close.
Give me some medicine. I'll throw some at you. And it's one of those things, like, you know, when Cody Glass went in and went off, you're like, oh man, ACL turned out to be not. I suppose he's re-injured it in Chicago. You hope that's not bad.
Yeah.
Talking to William Karlsson the other day, you know, he had the broken finger. He says he missed a month, but he says still can't grip the stick 100%, and he's not taking faceoffs anymore. Finger is 4 to 6, because he actually said it was weird, because we're like, okay, when did they say you'll be able to be 100%? He's like, maybe in a week. But can he, as he continues to play through that, does it continue to heal?
Yeah, absolutely. So the return to play is tough, because we tell people, hey, look, you can get back out there at
80.
We go through phases where there's healing enough to be safe to take a hit, but it does not mean that you're 100% symmetric yet. Okay. And it doesn't mean that by participating and by forcing yourself to play that you won't ache the next day.
Right.
So these guys are going to have some ups and downs. I mean, the recovery process for a lot of this can be way longer than after they actually get back to a game.
Okay.
They're healing for even months later.
Because
so a broken
they
finger.
Keep playing.
Exactly.
Broken
a broken finger, if there's joint swelling above or below, which there should be,
right?
By all means, that's going to take months for that joint to actually not have some stiffness in it and be able to just grip and let go and not have, especially after a game, gripping a hockey stick all night, to not have any soreness.
NFL draft is coming forward, and one of the probably the biggest mystery to a lot of people in that draft is where Tua Tagovailoa will go from Alabama. And it's interesting because there was a story where the writer went to one of the NFL docs and he had not seen the records. But this was interesting to me because Tua has had two procedures on each of his ankles, and then the hip. And I thought the hip was the one where if I'm a team, I want to see the medicals in the hip. Like ankles, I assume, you can correct me if I'm wrong, over time, although they might get weakened and be more susceptible. Mm-hmm. But the hip, I think everyone's like, okay, now wait a minute, because the Bo Jackson injury. This doctor said, and his point was, he goes, he'll be okay. None of this is chronic. Like, you heal it, and he'll be fine. The hip's not chronic? I mean, to explain that, because I'm sure he's right. He's the doctor. He's an NFL doctor. But I always thought because of Bo Jackson, boy, that could really affect this kid for, I don't know, if the rest of his life or definitely mm-hmm. trying to play in the NFL.
Yeah, I know. And reading that and what I believe he was talking about when he's talking chronic, all of these were acute injuries. Like, these happened with a tackle. He got rolled up on his ankle. He got driven into the ground and his hip dislocated. And so all of those were events that happened with trauma. So if you can get a guy to heal that acute injuries, it's not like having, you know,
arthritis
a prolonged,
or something
exactly.
over you. Okay,
you got an elbow pain that you nurse and nurse and nurse, and you're just trying to get through the season, and then you're rehabbing it like crazy in the off season, or like a Andrew Luck shoulder injury that you're just going on, and it's been a repetitive overtime problem. So by saying these weren't chronic, he was just talking about how, bam, these happened with a tackle. These were preventable. If you get a line that's going to protect him safer, and if he gets rid of the ball when he knows he's in trouble instead of trying to hustle out of the pocket, can you prevent those injuries? Not always, but potentially better. So I believe that's what he's talking about. And these, I mean, he came back from those two ankle injuries and did great, and they can tape the heck out of his ankles for when he's playing. The hip worries me. Like, I think we talked before about Dennis Pitta. He came back, did great, and then bam, non-contact injury. He's just making a turn, and his hip popped out again.
Wow.
And so that's a little more concerning. They said that he had a bone injury with the hip dislocation, and so when you try to heal bone to bone, it's usually quite successful because bone healing to bone is strong. So I'm hoping that was a big fragment that they were able to reattach and make heal really well, and that hip will be totally stable. But I know, I mean, even listening to some of his interviews, he talks about, hey, I just want to get in, learn under somebody for a year. Doesn't sound like he feels ready to go tomorrow this coming year. He sounds like he wants to take a while to recover.
Time. And I don't think this is going to happen because they're not going to have the pick, and Miami's going to probably take him, say, I'm sorry. But it was interesting that he came out this week and said, I'd rather play for a team like the Cowboys and sit behind Dak.
Uh-huh.
And not a lot of guys in the first round say, I want to sit behind someone, even though sometimes it happens. So that kind of told me, does he know he's not completely ready and he's okay with, I'll just stay here. You go to the Dolphins, you're probably, you know, Fitzpatrick will come back, but the first four-game losing streak is like, Tua, let's go. Want to see what you have. It was kind of a mature thing of him. Like he kind of maybe can sense something that maybe I need to sit back a little.
Yeah, and maybe, hey, I want to. And it was interesting listening to him. I mean, he talks about the finances, talks about being re-hurt. Like, I think this has all woken him up a little bit.
Seems like a really smart guy, actually.
he's not dumb. But I'd you know, if I were a team that wanted to invest a lot of money in him, I'd sure want to see him perform a little first. But if you take him for cheap because everybody else is a little nervous, and if he turns out in a year to be fantastic again, which he probably will, then a lot of people are going to regret it.
So what everyone's saying in the combines or whatever the teams will be, they'll look at the medicals, they'll have their doctors look at the medicals. If you're the doctor and take us through this and you say, I need to see his medicals, what are they handing you? His updated x-rays on his hip? I mean, what are you looking at to where you say, I can make a definitive, maybe not 100%, but I can give you a good gauge as to why I think he'll go this way or that way? What are you looking at?
They're looking at scans mostly, and they're examining the hip. I know he couldn't really perform. He couldn't do anything as of yet, but they're checking range of motion. They're checking how does it feel. Is there still much for pain when he's trying to range the hip? They're looking at an MRI to say, okay, does it look like everything's lined up properly? Does it appear to have good blood flow to the ball and socket joint so that we're not getting like a Bo Jackson problem here? And then, is the CT scan look like everything was perfectly positioned when they repaired the bone? So they're mostly just evaluating his medical status with every scan you can imagine, as detailed of MRI as you could ever get. You know, they're taking high-end pictures.
A lot of money.
Well, that's
look at everything.
That's my
question.
Where does this come in? And we're speaking with Dr. Caleb Pinneger, Southern Nevada sports injury expert with Crivetti Orthopedics, CrivettiOrtho.com. You've worked extensively in that area of the country, especially with Dr. James Andrews in Florida. What do these colleges look like, especially when you have a guy who's not going to be back next year? Who takes care of this? What kind of money is involved with the facilities that he's getting the care? And because they also know that he is an asset and probably doesn't have this kind of money himself, what is the kind of care and facilities that they are treated in, for example, for Tua, because the NFL and other private businesses want to know everything? Who pays for all that?
So at the Combine, they've got all the scans and capacity right there.
Okay.
So they'll often repeat things there. If you're at a university setting, so University of Alabama or anywhere like that, you know, the medical center there is going to have all that's going to be done there. The training facilities at a college, they'll occasionally have X-rays, especially in a football stadium, but they don't have a scanner typically in a university setting at the school, but over near the hospital side. That's where they send them. They send them over there, get all the scans.
Okay.
But the athletic training rooms are set up for complete full front to back physical therapy. They've always got, you know, you got every cryotherapy, every heat therapy. They got all that right there. So the facilities in a lot of these places are amazing.
What does Tua do to rehab? Is he in the water?
Right.
What's a rehab for a hip?
He's going to be doing a lot of non-weight bearing exercises at first, range of motion. Then he's going to advance to weight bearing, and then he's going to start progressing through resistance exercise where he's going to start loading the joint. So it's all about preserving range of motion until it's safe to start impacting on it, and then take it from there.
All this hip talk made me have to sit down. Dr. Pinneger here.
I think you just pulled yours out of the socket.
Yeah, could you take an MRI in the break? We wanted to ask you also about, we'll go into more NFL a little bit, especially with Steph Curry. We've talked about him, and it's funny that the Golden State Warriors have now like plummeted to nothing for a year where things are going so bad, but everyone feels like he's showing up next week despite his hand injury. How difficult are these hand injuries to come back, and would you want to even force something? You're only at about 30 more days on a terrible season. Why bring him back now? Would you have done that?
I think if he's ready to go, granted it's been 3 months. It's a long recovery for any injury. So he must have. I didn't see any X-rays. I don't know what exactly he did, but it could have been good for him to already be out this long.
Metacarpals that are constantly being used in repetitive motion. How much care do you take with that?
So a metacarpal fracture, the nice thing is it's in more the central part of the hand, and so it's protected as long as it's in the middle, or and if it's on the side, it's a bigger bone, so it heals pretty good, and there's not as much motion in your actual metacarpal.
All right.
If it's down in the finger, of course, then you have smaller bone, more mobility, more joint, and that's a little tougher to rehab. But so I didn't see which part he'd actually broken or where he had the surgery, but at 3 months, I'm a little surprised that it's taken that long, just because that's a pretty good duration of time. And maybe they're just being extra cautious
with him.
Because of how
they stink, and why would you want him hurt?
Yeah, exactly.
Was there ever a time when an organization came to you or a player that needed a second opinion, and your second opinion was considerably different than the first prognosis, and which meant, like, you know what, you got to shut it down, you can't play? What kind of conflict do you have to go through with organizations and players when that happens?
It's not so much conflict in the end. It's just trying to, and they understand it's a opinion. You know, so some people are going to be very aggressive about certain things, and other people less aggressive. On the standard, most when you get to that level of an orthopedic surgeon that's taking care of teams, you're often going to get a pretty similar opinion. But there are times where this guy would not ever think surgery is necessary for this injury, and this guy would say, well, in my hands, this is best if we do surgery. So I offer people a tiebreaker. I say, hey, if you got mine, it's way different than his. Why don't you get a third one, and we'll just see which side of the fence this leans you over to, because it sure doesn't hurt you. I mean, if you got a doctor that you're a little disagreeing with, get another opinion. Jeez, you're not by any means obligated to this person. And if they don't like what I say, I'm happy to offer them an opinion with another doctor. I want a person to be confident in what they're being offered and in what their prognosis is going to be.
Dr. Pendergast says, look, if you want a second opinion, that's fine. Dr. Crivetti is next door. Knock on his door, and we'll decide what's happening.
You know what, baseball?
And if he disagrees with me, I'm taking him out.
Hit him low, because he lifts weights. You can tell he benches like 500.
Yes. How tight is that Crivetti kid's shirts when he comes in here? Yeah. You're in the nice suit with the doctor. I think he likes to show off the guns. That kid's in here with some... I got a son who's with the tight shirts. Crivetti comes in here, look at the shirt. He's in good shape, that kid.
Yeah, no, I was worried, like, he's going to lose oxygen. You know, really tight shirts, but he looks good in them, so I mean, might as well keep doing it. Baseball season is around the corner, and we'll probably get into a lot of stuff during the next few months on a lot of the baseball injuries. But for me, when the Angels are a team that I always watch, because for the last 22 years living in this town, they're always on TV. So you become an Angels fan, and I want Shohei Ohtani to do good. Yeah. But this is now a year where they have him. They feel like they're going to use him with glee at pitching and in the outfield. They're going to try to do this whole experiment again. We tried this a year and a half ago, and it blew up in their face. What would you tell the Angels, and what would you tell Shohei Ohtani? Like, look, the dream's over. You can only do one. Or can he do two?
You know, it's tough to play two positions. Being a pitcher is a serious load on your arm. Now, he's had his elbow fixed, right? And so he's gone through that, and he's already proceeded through the rehab, and his elbow ought to be great.
Fine.
It ought to be strong. The odds of success with that surgery are hugely high. So he should do well. Now, to play both positions, I mean, if he's you hope his team's going to be real smart, and if he's going to pitch, he's going to take time off instead of just being like, hey, well, all right, we're going to swap you out for the outfield, go straight out. I mean, he needs to be careful.
They need to do that.
If you want a player to last a long time, pitching's hard. I mean, pitchers get get injured.
Wear and tear.
Exactly. That's a hard, hard job. And so if you want this guy to last forever, if he's a great part of your team, you love how he hits, put him in the outfield. But if you need him pitching, he should be safe to pitch.
Well, they need pitching from everywhere, but you're right, because the amount of throws an outfielder will make in a given month compared to even four or five starts from a pitcher is not even close to percentages.
Oh, nothing,
there's games he might not get one ball. I mean, he might get 10 in a game, but when you're pitching, you know you're going to have so many pitches a game.
Oh, yeah.
The elbow, though, like you said, and your experience, compare the elbow 20 years ago to now. I mean, it just must be now. You're right, when pitchers do that, especially if they're on a team you're like, I don't see many people getting as, like, bummed out about anything, because these guys just come back from these things now easily. And it's almost, you've heard these things say where they're stronger when they come back.
Yeah, the guys and people were talking on the internet about how good he's looking right now, he's bulked up, he's strong. And that's what makes these guys strong when they come back. It's not that we put a spring in their elbow that's now suddenly,
$6 million man.
It's not going to make you five Newtons faster or have an ability to suddenly spring that ball with extra whip.
Well, the Astros might do that, so.
Yeah, no, they might have some
chips in their elbows.
Technology. They implanted a metal device inside there. But these guys come back just built, because they spent this year working on their legs, working on their core drive, and now they're going to drive the ball better from the ground up. So that's how they're going to have more success. We've seen over 20 years, we've seen how this surgery has progressed, and teams won't even bat an eye. They'll take a kid out of high school or out of a junior college, and they'll say, go get your Tommy John surgery. Here's your contract. We know you're going to be back. They don't even worry about it. They'll sign them, then send them to surgery, and they just know they're coming back. They don't even worry.
It's amazing, because I think it's also because of people in your own business. We're talking to Dr. Caleb Pinniger, VegasSports.com, Crivetti Ortho. It is amazing, because you guys are so skilled now that I see that all the time. Like, I mean, Tommy John surgery, and I'm not decreasing it, but it's almost like it's just the sprained ankle. You're so good at it now that there's no, I don't think 20 years ago someone's given a guy $1 million contract saying, well, we hope the elbow's okay, you'll be fine. Now, Tommy John surgery is, I don't want to say easy or anything, but it certainly seems like if you do it correctly, you'll be fine.
It's got a good track record. Yeah. It's a successful operation. And that's good, because that's what a lot of these guys need.
What kind of preventive care would you like to tell a lot of younger student athletes that are getting ready for baseball? And I'm talking from like ages 6 to 16.
Yeah. Now, the farther you get, the more pressure there's going to be on you to not stop. And to preserve your elbow, there's got to be a couple of months of a year where you're not throwing a football or a baseball or a frisbee. You're just resting your arm. Do something totally separate. We've talked about that on a couple times. And that's the key. I mean, as you're when you're really young, your body needs a variety of sports. To be in one single sport, your odds of burning out and quitting sports completely before you even turn 16 are out of the park. I mean, you're talking 70% of these kids or so will quit sports completely before they're 14 because they're like, they're over it.
They're burned out.
Yeah. And so to keep kids in a single sport for that long, it's hard on them, and their body needs the change. So that's a big thing. Arm care for baseball, there's so many great rules for how many pitches in a game, for how long you should rest between. And if you're playing on two teams, that's got to be communicated to two teams, and you really shouldn't play on two teams at a time. It's just you're overdoing it on too young of an arm, and you'll be sore.
Have you given us an age where you won't let them, where you wouldn't throw curveballs?
Yeah, you're not supposed to throw. We don't like you to start throwing curveballs till you're at least 12.
Okay. It's sad, too, because you know there's little league guys trying to teach kids.
Yeah, there's always some dad in the
there's
backyard.
There's always a dad. Like,
well, but there's always kids that also want to throw it because it's cool.
When
you see somebody fan on a pitch in the batter's box, it's like, wow, that was fun.
How'd you do that? Yeah. I learned this curveball. It's going to be awesome.
But is there something in the UCL by age 12 that is considerably more significant than when you're 8, for example?
It's got to develop. That ligament undergoes such change, especially in a pitcher. It needs to be strong before you put that type of torque on it.
Okay.
And so we're trying to make changes in how many of these young kids are damaging their UCL.
I'm almost scared to ask you how young you see kids now.
The youngest that I have seen get a Tommy John surgery was 10.
Oh.
Okay, well, that's
how are they even developed at that point?
Wow.
Yeah.
How are they developed?
They're not. That's the problem. I mean, there's too much that's still under construction in their body that, I mean, to have already blown it at that point is...
10-year-old with Tommy John. What a disaster. Oh,
did they get a sucker at the end? I mean, they're so young, they should get like a plushie, a Dr. Crevetti plushie or something.
One-handed push-ups against Crevetti?
Yeah.
Hand behind the back, going up and down like, let's go, kid.
Dr. Caleb Vinegar, it's great having you on. Follow him on Twitter at VegasSportsDoc, especially if you're watching the Golden Knights game or you're watching something on TV. If you need a question, throw it at him. I mean, your ability to observe and evaluate these injuries is really exemplary. So it's great having you on once again, and let's talk to you real soon.
All right. Thanks you guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Doc.
Go online, CrevettiOrtho.com or ICanAgain.com, and you'll find out how everyday injuries like this can be fixed in a blink of an eye by just going to CrevettiOrthopedics.com. We got Ryan, the hockey guy, waiting on deck. We'll get to him in just a few minutes here on the Press Box Morning Show.
It's 2020, and Gambler's Bonus is celebrating 25 years of